What's up? We're back. It's another Barncast Live. It's Kyle Rush, Daryl Dapperich, Zach Blackerby will be joining us here in just a minute. And tonight, we're going to talk about essentially what all we're hearing from fans after this basketball season that did not go the way it's been going the past several years. Basketball has been sort of a relief from, the futility on the football field, and this year just wasn't good. There's not many things you can say to sugarcoat it otherwise. And there's been a lot of takes recently, and I figure we just kind of go through some of the main ones. Anything before we get started, Dap, on last night or just the season in general?
I think that last night in a lot of ways was probably – what we've seen the last 3 or 4 weeks that has been the most disappointing, that every time Auburn had to play the desperation game, the must-win game, 4 out of 5 times, the team with less to play for played like they had more to play for.
Man.
And that's the thing that's most concerning. You can get out-rostered. You can have the talent different. But when you play with an energy or an enthusiasm or intensity that you look like you're the team with less to play for than more to play for, to me, that is the most concerning aspect of this season.
I couldn't have said it better. Couldn't have said it better. And again, I think there's blame to go around there as far as why that played out the way it did. And we're going to talk about a lot of those things tonight. So kind of what I've done is I've gone through like Twitter and message boards and things like that, and picked out 6 topics that I feel like are like the big talking points that a lot of people are echoing, not necessarily saying these are wrong, these are right. This is what people are saying, not even saying we agree with them, but I'm going to throw it out there and we're going to talk through it and see what we think about it. But the first one is Steven inherited a team coming off of a Final Four. We shouldn't be this bad. That is something I see a lot. Had a machine going, and I'm saying this in quotation marks. I'm quoting what I'm seeing out there. Shouldn't be that bad. What are your thoughts there, Dap?
False narrative, because he didn't inherit a team that went to the Final Four. He inherited a team that got completely reconstructed. He inherited a program that went to a Final Four, but he didn't inherit a team that went to the Final Four. And I will say this. If Stephen Pearl, this is a fun game to play, so I'm glad you brought this up. And sometimes things just pop into my mind, a little scary for folks out there, but I think this will help you. If Stephen Pearl had last year's roster, Kyle, do you think this team goes to the Final Four?
Oh, in the very, very first year, probably not, because you got to think your first year, that's tough.
But I think he at least gets to the Sweet 16
with
that roster. If Bruce Pearl had this roster, does this team make the NCAA tournament?
Barely. I think you're maybe 3 games better.
So there's a margin of error there that is very, very slight, not as exaggerated as some would seem. On this Stephen Pearl narrative, you can't expect a first-year coach, even with a really, really, really talented roster, to go to a Final Four when he's just kind of cutting his teeth. Mm-hmm. But I do think he gets to the Sweet 16 with that roster last year, because that team policed itself,
yes,
had a ton of leaders. And I know, or I not know, I think that maybe this team, this roster that – if Bruce had it, maybe wins 1 or 2 more games and maybe doesn't get blown out in the desert or in Michigan or something like that. And I do believe it's a tournament team with Bruce just because of his experience at pushing the right buttons. But the margin of error there, Kyle, is not as vast as some totally would want to say.
I totally agree. And I will say this too, and this isn't necessarily – I'm trying to make this not like a shot at anybody that feels this way, but I think sometimes we watch basketball like we watch football, okay? And we watch the way football, you recruit and you build depth and you build a roster. And for the most part, I know that you got the transfer portal now. We brought in 50 new players on this particular roster this upcoming year, but we had around 30 that are going to be here next year. You know what I mean? So it's one thing to inherit a good football program, you know, that's probably had a couple of years of good recruiting, kind of like DeBoer taking over from Saban. Like that, he had a stacked roster. He inherited a good program and a good roster. Basketball's not that way. Basketball is almost now year to year, like brand new teams almost year to year. So that's the only bit of pushback that I would give there is that, no, yes, he did inherit a team, a program that went to the Final Four, but he did not inherit a Final Four team. And it was kind of a mess the way the whole thing went down, if we're being
You make a really good point that needs to be addressed. And hello, Zach Blackerby, who's jumping on. In the micro, a football season, every loss is so magnified and so important and so damning. And when you take that mentality to basketball, it's fatal because it's not the same. And then when you take season after season after season in basketball and you're going to the tournament, you're winning conference championships, To make the analogy of a football season that Auburn's having right now, it's a 7-5 season and missing a bowl game. That's what this so really, or playing, I take that back. The NIT is the equivalent of some of these lower tier bowl games. So this basketball team, if you were to equate it to football, like our fans do, and treat every loss life and death, this basketball season is going from a Final Four college football playoff appearance to a lower tier Music City Bowl 7-5 season. Would there be the outrage and the absolute losing their minds if that happened in football? But with basketball, every loss is life or death. And the season that Auburn doesn't make the tournament is like the be-all and end-all. That's where sometimes the mindset of treating this like football is fatal.
Sure. Zach, this was the point we were talking about. People are saying Steven inherited a team coming off a Final Four. We shouldn't be this bad.
He did inherit a team coming off a Final Four, but none of these guys played in the Final Four except for Tahan. So
we made the differentiator, Zach, that he inherited a program coming off a Final Four, not a team coming off the Final Four. And that's where people are getting it wrong with that mindset, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And you can certainly feel like we shouldn't be this bad. I think that's valid. But, yeah, I don't think those two things are tied together. I agree.
Reverend says, UConn is the only team to make back-to-back Final Fours in the past 4 years. Making it consecutively is slim. I think Stephen Pearl would get them to the Sweet 16 too. Dap, talking about last year's roster. With last year's roster. Hey, something else about UConn. They won back-to-back national championships and then they were either an 8 or a 9 seed the very next year. So basketball is just a different animal. Guys, I've seen this one too. Stevens torn down. This was actually a thread on a thread title on one of the message boards. Stevens torn down everything Bruce has built in one season. Who wants to take that one first?
Go ahead, Zach.
Well, I mean, at face value, it's like, how do you know? I mean, if just simply, like, how do you even know? I don't think that's true. But, because, like, when you look at everything Bruce has built as far as legacy and all that that goes along with it, Bruce's biggest battle, especially early on, was getting people to care. And you can say you don't care about this team because they lost, yet, you know, you're in the barn cast on a Friday night or you're commenting on YouTube videos at 3 o'clock in the morning or, you know, whatever it might be on social media. And so to me, like, that was Bruce's biggest struggle early on, was cultivating any sort of interest amongst the fan base or any sort of passion and level of care. And I think we're seeing care in different ways. There's frustration because Auburn should be better than they are. Certainly, you know, resonate with that, but also the behind the scenes aspect of raising funds and money, and whether it's rev share or NIL, you know, I think that's the point, the version of caring that matters most. And I think that is still in place. So I don't think that's been torn down.
I don't either. And I don't think one season does that. You can't undo a legacy in one season. Now you can, if you start stacking stinkers back to back, and then you could have a problem with tearing stuff down. But I would say that, again, I'm old enough to remember following Auburn basketball from Sonny Smith to Tommy Joe Eagles, Cliff Ellis, Jeff Lebo, Tony Barbie. So this ebb and flow of different coaches, when Auburn self-imposed some penalties on themselves in 2020 and 2021, and they lost Sharif Cooper for half the year, and Justin Powell got hurt that COVID year, and they didn't look good at all. I looked at a buddy. I went to the Mississippi State game where there's like, you know, you can only get like 15 people in the arena and you were social distancing. And I looked and said, I wonder if Auburn will ever get back to another Final Four. I wonder if Bruce can get this program back to where Nate Oates was on a heater that year. Yep. Other teams were ascending. And in 1 year, he had them back winning the conference with Jabari. And now let's not forget, despite some of those regular season successes, Auburn got spanked by Clemson in the second round and got embarrassed, got spanked by Miami in the second round and got embarrassed, got beat by Yale in the first round. We need to understand perspective of all of this, of people jumping off cliffs when that stuff happened, and somehow, some way, Auburn regrouped and came back. And that's all I'm saying is 1 year, one off doesn't undo that and is not a reason to panic. But you better not stack them.
There you go.
Because Bruce never did that.
This was going to be the last one, but I already saw somebody comment this and essentially say the same thing. We won't be able to recruit now. This is going to make it harder for Stephen Pearl to recruit. We're not going to be able to get anybody in the portal. That's been a big talking point.
I'll take this one first. Let me ask you guys a question. Who was the most dominant freshman in the Bruce Pearl era to come in as a freshman and completely dominate? Best recruit he had.
Jabari.
Right.
What year, Jabari?
What year? I would say Jabari. I think Jabari was more dominant than Isaac Okoro was. That team was better and had better players around him. He had, well, I say that, Kessler and some of those guys. But anyway, I would say Jabari. Do you know what season Jabari committed and signed with Auburn?
It was the year that we were sucked. Awful.
Yeah. And we also, by the way, got Walker Kessler to leave a storied program in North Carolina and take a chance on Auburn's program coming off that year and sign in the portal.
That's good stuff. So,
and who, by the way, was the lead recruiter for both of those dudes?
I believe Stephen Pearl.
Now, you can say all you want that Bruce was the deciding factor, but Bruce didn't go into as much living rooms as Stephen Pearl did, and Stephen Pearl took the lead on those. So before we hit the panic button on recruiting, there's that aspect, and also there's still NIL that changes the factor of that altogether.
And Zach can speak to the money part of it, because money is ultimately what's going to drive most of this, and I think Auburn was in a competitive spot this year, and I don't think that's going to be changing anytime soon.
Yeah, this point is a concern for me. I mean, I don't think I'm as concerned as some of the Auburn fans that are melting down, but I think it's a reasonable question. I mean, you know, Auburn, hopefully with the money numbers that are kind of floating around there and some that I've been told, Auburn should be in a spot to be pretty competitive when it comes to NIL for sure. But so are several other teams. And if it's close, I just wonder if Steven's going to win some of those tiebreakers. That is a question that I'm asking.
But would that be any different? Would that be any different after this season or any season that Stephen Pearl's the head coach? Like Stephen coming off of his first or second year? Like, would that be Stephen versus Bruce?
I think it's a little bit different if it, if we beat Ole Miss and Mississippi State down the stretch and we're an 8 seed or a 9 seed, I do think the conversations are a little bit different this offseason. Yeah. Not drastically, but I do think they're different.
Cool. I think there could be some effect, but for the most part, we're going to be competitive and we're not recruiting high school. Like, people are really concerned about high school recruiting.
I have no issue
basketball,
with that.
Which
that does not bother me.
It's just not the game anymore. Like the,
I almost don't want high school.
I don't want to waste time. Yeah, I don't want to waste time on high school kids. If I'm being
our track record with freshman guards, not great.
Not great.
It can be done though, and I know you guys are going to roll your eyes, but Duke and Arizona in the last couple of years have absolutely been on heaters, getting high school guards and high school players. But
they're getting the can't miss guys.
They are. They're getting the kids. They're going to go one and done.
If you're going to get a 5-star, you know, McDonald's All American, like, and even in that game, it's like that guy looks different, 100%. But some of these guys, where there's question marks to their, I mean, we kind of thought Magwood was one of those guys. It's like, yeah, this guy's going to be ready to play right away. I mean, who were some other ones? Like Chance Westry's in that conversation. I feel like there's a few more that I'm
Trey Donaldson, I guess, would be. And he's actually ended up being
pretty good. I've seen him as a mock draft.
No, I mean, look how much we put in Holloway. We thought how great Holloway was. Holloway's
a good
be.
One, yeah.
Right. And so, like, we've seen that doesn't keep guys here. Because if you're not able to contribute right away, you leave, regardless of what promises are. So, I'm not worried about the lack of high school stuff at all. I'd rather get a guy that's a sophomore that played 22 minutes a game at a smaller school. That's just where I'm at mentally on that.
There you go. I'm with you 100%. It's funny that this super chat came in because this is one of the notes that I have as well that I'm hearing a lot from AU.
Shout out to AU Plug.
What have we seen from Stephen Pearl's leadership ability specifically that gives us realistic excitement for next year? I have a specific answer for that one, but it kind of goes along with this. The team quit on him. You have to be able to adapt to your personnel. I'm hearing that a lot too. And I think those kind of go hand in hand. Any of y'all want to take one of those? I have something whenever you guys get finished.
You up, Zach?
Yeah, I don't know how I would answer this without like totally just bashing a specific player, and I don't know if I want to do that. But I do think there's some big personalities that the team was built around that carried this team down negatively, and that's just – I think that's a problem. I think we just missed on – I think we missed on maybe not talent eval, but culture eval on a few guys.
Yeah, I don't – the team is a pretty large statement, but I believe two particularly did, and they were two really –
It's Todd and Keyshawn Hall. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why we're dancing around it. They both suck on and off.
And I don't –
Let's suck off the court. Let's just say it.
Yeah.
And mine's not as much on – to like, I don't think we misevaluated Todd. Like, I don't think we could have done that differently. We could have been wrong, but I don't think we could have. I don't think we should have done that any different than we did.
I agree.
The Keyshawn thing, did we panic a little bit?
Yes.
Yes. And then
the timing and everything had played a lot into it. But yeah,
we
panicked and threw big money to get some scoring. And Bruce, at that point in time, wasn't leaving. And I'm sure he thought he could do something with him. I want to say something specifically to this. Okay. So here's leadership to me. Leadership to me is saying, I don't care if you're the leading scorer, you're going to do things the way we say you're going to do it, or you're going to sit your ass on the bench.
Yep.
You can be Tahad Pettifer and you can have $3 million a year and you can do what you don't show up for practice. You don't show up for film. You're going to sit your ass on the bench. Keyshawn Hall, you've been good all year. You show up 30 minutes late for film. You're going to sit your ass on the bench. To me, that's leadership, because that's your three best players. Okay. So you set your stand. You've drawn a line in the sand. That's number one. You can adapt your system to personnel. You cannot adapt discipline to personnel. You start adapting discipline to personnel, you see teams fall apart. Okay. This team was not built for, in my opinion, the style of the way Stephen coaches. Stephen was the bad cop to Bruce's good cop, and there was no good cop after Bruce left. And these guys, I'm just going to say it, some of them are soft, and they couldn't handle it.
Yeah, and Stephen's going to be able to recruit guys that fit what he wants.
And sometimes a fan base replicates what we're seeing on the court. I mean, I hate to say this, but
it's all really good.
Fans' reactions and some of the stuff that people say is also soft. It's like you've never watched college basketball before.
Yeah.
And, you know, he took What do you want him to do? He took a guy that openly called him out on social media and didn't let him see the floor the rest of the game. Pettiford had a DUI season. And had some other, rest of the season. Pettiford had a DUI and he didn't, and some other things, and he sat him for a couple of games. Hall sat for a game. Murphy sat for being 20 minutes to a film session. And oh, by the way, he's supposed to be exemplary of what he does. He's a leader and does things the right way most of the time. And people are like, well, he only did it that once. Well, I mean, yeah, but you still have to set the example that I'm not going to treat people differently. And to me, that is being a leader. I agree 100%. And anybody that thinks Bruce handled stuff differently is right. And those who think he didn't is naive, because he did handle things differently, regardless of what your player status.
And it won us some games, and it cost us some games.
And Steven saw that and probably said, when I'm going to be head coach, I'm not going to do that. And yes, you've got to let the man coach to his convictions. If he believes that he doesn't want to give preferential treatment and daddy did, then let him handle it the way. And if it turns out to not work, then they'll move him out and someone else will replace him. But that has nothing to do with leadership.
Let's go find you got the chance now. No excuses. You're going to have money. Go find you guys that you think will react to your style of coaching, your level of discipline, and go run the thing and see what happens. And if it doesn't work, then we can start asking some really tough questions. But taking guys that came here to play for Bruce Pearl, and then they kind of had the rug pulled out from under him and were given Steven, and Steven's just a different personality, period. Not good. Not saying it's good or bad. I think Steven honestly emulates more of the behavior of most college basketball coaches, and Bruce Pearl's the outlier than vice versa. Do you think that's a fair statement?
Absolutely. I look at Tom Izzo. I look at, coaches that have had a lot of success over the years that aren't just one and done, guys that do stuff in the Rick Pitino, even though he's an idiot, Dan Hurley, guys like that will not put up with that stuff. You think that Hurley would let somebody come 20. Now look, Stephen Pearl's not Hurley, but I'm saying don't criticize him for things that are good attributes. Criticize him for not stopping the three on the rim.
Or not calling timeouts.
Not calling timeouts, misevaluations on players. There's some real things to go after him about, but quit making up phantom crap just because you don't like him and because you need to take a pill. It's ridiculous. And that's what's soft, and that's what's it discredits you from the good coaches don't put up with that nonsense.
Yeah.
They have culture. What is he supposed to do? Not be who he is because people think, oh, well, you just need to be softer so that these kids aren't responding to either. They're not Hall wasn't going to play better if you let him skate.
Exactly. Thomas Jones says, does Steven need to make the tournament next year? And or if he doesn't, is he on the hot seat? I think that kind of goes along with what we're saying. I think so.
If you miss the tournament 2 years in a row, you're
going to have some. There's going to be some very, very tough conversations, and you're possibly going to be gone. Like I think that's a very, very real conversation to have because of how quickly you can turn things around in basketball when you have a full off season to actually do that, and you're not kind of just saddled with a change right there before.
He won't survive year three if he misses the tournament in year two. It ain't going to happen. And so that's okay, because that should be the standard. If we keep talking about what Bruce built, then we cannot have it the other way. I mean, there is an expectation now.
Yes.
And if you miss it next year, I think there is some real concern.
Absolutely.
And especially if football's good again, especially if football goes out and goes 8-4 or 9-3, I think the attention will shift away.
Nine-time champ says, we're 11 wins away from a natty, you unbelievers.
People want to joke about that, and that's just funny. But let me tell you something. And again, I'm trying to be realistic and not be naive, because I've been a college basketball fan for a long time. Look at the gray and the goatee. That's all you got to see. This team, nothing I've seen over the last 3 weeks tells me that they're going to show up and play well in the tournament. But if they do, their path of winning three games in that tournament and going from 16 wins to 19 wins and getting into the tournament and the whole in a week feeling of how this team is can flip. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, this team don't care. These guys don't care.
I'm afraid they don't.
If that's the case, then don't even get on the freaking plane and go to Nashville. See, that's what bothers me.
You have to play the game.
But then do like we talked about.
My thing sit is
Hall,
just let them wear it.
Sit Hall and, care. Just and don't
get
start
embarrassed out there.
Well, yeah. I would try something different Wednesday. I'd say I want people on the floor that care and want to give me energy and 100% effort. So Hall, you're coming off the bench, and if your body language is poor, you're not going to the game at all. Just put Freeman in the three and put Sway back in the starting lineup. See what happens.
And play Jovich for
37 minutes.
And see if Walker in his home state can come off the bench and hit some threes. Who knows?
There you go.
You're not playing Duke. I mean, anyway.
Yeah.
Seen this a lot. Bruce's legacy is in jeopardy. This is all on Bruce.
What a joke. What an absolute joke.
About the way, I guess this is more referring to the way the whole thing went down.
You could be upset about it, for sure. I said this while he was there. It's like, if he wants Steven to be named interim, I think they should have done this a little bit better. I think they should have let him name him coach in waiting ahead of time. I think a lot of this is a little bit better if that's the case. But
let me pose it this way. Okay, let's say year two is mediocre, don't get in the tournament, they give him year three, it's another disaster, don't get in a tournament, and then like that's about the time when you start talking about statues and renaming things. Like, does that, what's the reception like over something like that if you have a three-year stretch the way it went? That's, I'm just throwing that out there.
You got to be careful, because on the other side of the equation, not just Auburn's feelings towards Bruce Pearl, what are the Pearls' feelings towards Auburn if they fire their son after year two? Yeah. How does he perceive Auburn in the bitterness that lies therein with that? And so I think the whole thing is Houston handled it probably a little bit better with Kelvin Sampson and his son. But Allen Green, which surprises me, because I guess maybe because they weren't in a hot tub to make this deal, Allen Green refused to allow Stephen Pearl to be named coach in waiting during that contract negotiation. And I think Bruce walked away from that pissed. And so he forced their hand. He's like, if you're not going to do it officially, I'll make you do it anyway.
You mean
he
Cohen? Had
Cohen, you mean, yes. Yeah. Well, no. Allen Green, when they went back to that.
Okay, this was the whole Louisville thing.
Yes. Yeah, and he wanted that in the contract, and Allen Green wouldn't do it. And he walked away from that a little salty. So and for those that are saying they would have preferred Stephen go 2 years ago and coach at a mid-major and get some equity and show the – I 100% agree. I've never said –
Everyone wants
that's the preferred scenario.
Yeah.
Everyone brings up Todd Golden. He went to San Francisco and coached for a couple years. Go somewhere, earn your stripes, and then if you win and get in the tournament with a mid-major, then come back.
Yeah.
So I would have preferred – that's option number one for me. That's what I would have preferred.
Yeah, I would have the best of the scenario we're in, though, would be Bruce coaching this year with Stephen being head coach in waiting. And like it'd be like a retirement party, like the farewell party or whatever. It's funny you said Todd Golden. I've seen there are people that are on the opposite side that are defending Stephen Pearl, and I've seen this a lot. Todd Golden, Nate Oates had similar first seasons just for reference. I know Todd Golden went to San Francisco first, but his first season at Florida, 16-7 and 9-9, and he got knocked out in the first round of the NIT. Nate Oates was 16-15. This was
COVID. They would not have made the tournament, though.
16-15, 8-10 in conference. What do y'all – is that a valid argument, or is that wish casting, or is that just, what do you think about that particular argument from the other side? This is the pro side.
It's valid because it's true. It's factual. So it's valid. I, at that point, we can do a deep dive as to how the situations are different, how the circumstances are different. But bottom line is the statistics and the records back up what those people are saying. It's factual.
Zach?
Yeah, makes sense.
And those guys had experience at mid-majors. I mean, Nate Oates went to Buffalo and got to the Sweet 16 in the tournament with Buffalo, right? Golden went to did not San Francisco go to the NCAA tournament? I think they did.
They went their last season, third season.
So they had experience taking teams to the tournament and still laid an egg with their first big job.
Yeah, and both of the Nate's now – Nate's was a little bit different because it was before the portal and NIL was really a thing. But Golden was, 2022, 2023. Like, it was pretty hot and heavy at that point in time. So, sometimes comparisons like that kind of goes towards, saying Golish could be Cignetti or Nick Saban lost to Louisiana Monroe. Like, it kind of gets along those kind of conversations. But it is true. Like, it is factual that those coaches, a lot that maybe some of the Auburn guys and Auburn fans wanted Auburn to think Auburn could have hired, like a Todd Golden or somebody like that, if they did an actual search, which I think is hilarious because he's probably going to win back-to-back national championships. But, yeah, it's a lot of uncertainty right now. I think fans just don't really know 100% how to feel. It doesn't have to be, though, all in or all out.
Mm-mm.
It does feel like it's become all in or all out.
When you start to believe that is when you don't believe that two things can be true at once.
You need a t-shirt line or something.
We are so, and it's in every aspect of our lives, not just sports. It's one camp or the other. We can't have feet in both camps, right? And say this is true and this is true. You're right and you're right. It's like draw a line in the sand and pick one side, and by God, I'll fight you to death. It's a lot more nuanced than that.
Nuance is the word everybody needs to look up and understand. I think it doesn't have to be binary, but we'll see. Reverend Nate Oates is still a scumbag, no matter what. No matter what.
He's a bag. There's a bag in there, right?
He's several different types of bags.
Different types of bags, yes.
What's the worst one that he is?
And what's another type of bag?
I can't say the worst one, but douchebag is one.
Yeah.
But that's not even the worst one. There's scumbag. We talked about that, right? You had
scumbag is pretty all-encompassing, I feel like. That's a pretty good one.
But, yeah, there's a few others I've heard growing up that I cannot repeat.
There you go. Zach, anything else to add to that?
No, I hope we win a bunch of games next week. That'd be great.
Yeah. How do you feel about the first round game?
I don't think we win again.
I think we win. I think we beat Mississippi State.
How many minutes does Keyshawn Hall play?
18.
People that just plays 18, we got a chance. I'd bench him. I wouldn't play him.
I do. I would too.
I think I would.
It'd be interesting to see if it happens
next week if we benched him.
It'd be interesting to see if it happens because we called that shot if it did. So we'll see.
I know I was about to get off, but like it is crazy to me at some point how you don't look in the mirror and ask yourself, and maybe I'm the problem. Like how many teams do you have to be a part of, be the leading scorer of, that can't win?
You can't though because everybody keeps courting you. You leave one school, the second school gets you.
He falls up there, every time.
Every single time another school wants him, so he feels wanted, and making him feel wanted makes him entitled because people keep coming to the stage to pay him money. Fourth school, I love you. Please come. We're in the Final Four. Please come.
And I also think basketball is a sport, especially college basketball, is so individualized and stat-driven because of the individual. And so if you're able to lead in points across a pretty competitive conference, which he did, the Big 12 last year, like worth of self, it's like, oh, well, it can't just be me. I just was on a team with a bunch of scrubs.
Yeah. It's like the kid that he goes to elementary school, and every year he comes home, gets in trouble all the time, kindergarten through fourth grade, and he's like, "Man, the teacher hates me." It's the teacher. The teacher just hates me. That's the problem. It's not my behavior.
It's like everybody making, you know, shooting 50% from three against us. It's like, oh, everybody has their best night ever against us. Like,
okay, maybe there's a problem there. Maybe
we just can't defend the three.
Yeah. Maybe there's a schematic issue there. Yeah. Reverend Barn Booster, last one we're going to get out of here. Okay, our path to the SEC tournament is manageable. Am I psycho? Like, if this team plays to their caliber, we can make the noise. I don't think the argument is ever if this team plays to the caliber that they can play, we can't win. I don't think that's ever been the argument. It's at this point, it's I don't know that this team cares to get to that caliber right now. I think they all are just ready for this thing to be over. That's just the way it looks from my standpoint.
No, I'm sure those guys, like the guys that, you know, have a good feeling they're leaving, I'm sure they're already excited for their next deal in the portal. And I think you can tell who's who on that roster. And there's some guys that seem to certainly care, and you hope they you hope those guys get to stay.
Yep. Guys, go ahead, Dap.
No, I'm good. You're good.
All right. Yeah. I appreciate everybody jumping in. I know it's not been the most fun season. The very first season we did Barncast for basketball.
But
it could be our fault. No. We're going to keep doing it. We're gonna keep being here every Sunday night. We'll be there for the SEC tournament as far as they go. And if they do a postseason tournament, we'll be there for that too. So, and we'll be here Sunday night again, breaking it down. So, guys, I really appreciate it. Have a great rest of your weekend. I hope you have a great start to your week. Or damn.